In hospitals, as we've just heard, but also in prisons and universities, or even on canals or at seaports, the religious chaplain is a familiar figure. But new research by Humanist UK suggests that there's now popular support for a non-religious equivalent. 7 out of 10 people surveyed think non-religious pastoral carers have a role to play in our public services. And to that end, Humanist UK has been pioneering a non-religious pastoral support network, training volunteers to fill those roles. Trevor Barnes has been exploring the idea and visiting Leicester, where its hospitals have the first paid non-religious carer in the NHS.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for helping us out like this.
That's all right. Just need to deliver this and I'll find you a bag.
We're on Ward 41 of the Leicester Royal Infirmary. The Reverend Mark Burley, Head of Chaplaincy Services, is a familiar face here, along with his core team of Christian, Hindu, Muslim and Sikh chaplains. But of late, they've had a new addition in the form of a non-religious colleague. And I'm wondering, Mark, what she does that you don't.
The chaplains all offer support to the patients in the hospital and to the staff of all backgrounds and beliefs. But what a non-religious person can specifically do is offer someone of a similar mindset to somebody. So a patient can choose to speak to someone who might share their beliefs or outlook on the world. And I think it's important to offer that choice to them.
An early beneficiary of the new service was Hazel Boncher, a 56-year-old professional singer whose career was cut short by a series of life-threatening illnesses. She's arranged to meet her non-religious pastoral carer, the first in the NHS, Jane Flint.
During my latest brush with death, I was on the ward and Jane came to visit, as a random visit, really.
My mother was there, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I was immediately struck by the fact that here was someone from the chaplaincy who actually felt the same way as I did because I didn't have a faith. I mean, my parents have a very strong faith. And therefore, they would fall back on that faith for their own needs during that time. But I felt that Jane could offer me something sort of separate from the sort of familial relationship.
I think any time you're in a difficult place and you meet someone who understands you, there's a great deal of comfort in that. You're suddenly not alone and you're also not invisible.
And what can you offer by way of consolation as a humanist?
I don't go out to console people. I'm not trying to, like discussed earlier, offer hope, this sort of thing, in that terms of consolation, or say they're there, it'll be okay, or, you know, it's all going to be better. It's about simply staying with somebody wherever they are, however difficult, horrible, sad, whatever it is, it's saying, I'm not going to abandon you.
And it's not just the patients who can benefit from her support.
One thing that a lot of people actually don't think about in terms of chaplaincy is support to staff. Sometimes it's overload. Sometimes it's a case of you walking on a corridor and you see a member of staff who you recognise is just absolutely full up and about ready to spill out. And you grab a quick few minutes to just help them regain their equilibrium and carry on with the day when they, for a moment, they felt like they weren't going to make it.
Often at difficult times in life, whether it's as patients in hospitals or students in a new university or prisoners in prison, people want to talk to someone who is like-minded.
Andrew Copson, Chief Executive of Humanists UK.
If they're going through grief, if they're going through loss, if they're facing new questions about their life and its meaning, they want to talk to someone who shares their fundamental outlook on things, their values, their beliefs. Now, for religious people, that may very well be a chaplain who shares their religion. For many non-religious people, it's going to be one of our humanist pastoral carers.
He says there's growing support for such carers having an official role in our public institutions. In prisons, for example, where people like Carrie Thomas, a humanist volunteer, was in the early days seen as something of an oddity.
You could see the frown of confusion come across someone's face at times. So I would occasionally say, well, it's a bit of an oxymoron. I'm down here as a humanist chaplain, but let me explain what I actually do. I'm here to listen. And the rest of it is irrelevant. I'm just here for you.
The Reverend Sharon Grenham Thompson was, until recently, an Anglican prison chaplain, and while she's no objection to the prospect of non-religious carers, she does have reservations about their impact on the chaplaincy service.
I think there is a difference between being a pastoral carer and being a faith chaplain. There is some overlap. Faith chaplaincy certainly provides pastoral care, but it's the wider issue of exploring one's spirituality, one's place in the world, the big questions of eternity, life and death, and all those sorts of things that a chaplain seems to do so very well. Non-religious pastoral carers aren't necessarily a bad idea, but I would be a little bit concerned, I suppose, if that meant that we were seeing the gradual diminishing of the role of faith chaplain.
Which humanist Carrie Thomas believes needn't happen. Indeed, for her, the issue is about having more choice, not less.
When people are first admitted to prison, they go through something called reception, and a chaplain will meet them there to explore whether or not they have a religion. And those who don't have a faith are registered as nil. And then they're referred to as the nils, which I find quite derogatory and is quite a challenge for me. So what I would like to see as a humanist representing the non-religious in prison is an awareness that those who don't have a religion still have a very valid worldview.
I am concerned as budgets get squeezed more and more that the role of the faith chaplain may be diminished. I think that's certainly a danger. I did feel towards the end of my time as a chaplain the faith chaplains were under threat because of budget.
The Reverend Sharon Grenham Thompson. But Humanist Chief Executive Andrew Copson is confident that religious and non-religious can both be incorporated into whatever model of public service emerges.
Our volunteers work quite collaboratively with chaplains in prisons and hospitals and elsewhere because essentially they're doing the same type of thing. Our volunteers are not about promoting humanism, not about being agitators or proselytizers for a non-religious worldview. They're there to listen and there to support people who want that specific care.
Meanwhile, back here at the Leicester Royal, Hazel Bonshaw has every reason to be grateful to pastoral carer Jane Flint for the support she received.
I've been quite ill for the last 8 years. So when all that's going on and you're having lungs drained and you've got tubes coming out of you and you're on oxygen and you don't know whether you're going home, to have someone who comes and sits next to your bed and says, I understand where you're coming from, that's worth everything. It's a gift without price.
Hazel Bonshaw.